What's up, Abundant Babe? I'm so glad you found your way here. You're in the right place for the highest of vibes, the silliest of laughs, and the best of the bunch. All things related to spiritual entrepreneurship and creating holistic success. This is your host, Viola Hug, a coach for women who desire to have it all, alignment, wealth, impact, and joy. Come find me at Viola Hug on Instagram, join my free Abundant Babes group on Facebook, or grab a copy of my best-selling book, You Are an Abundant Babe, on Amazon. Now let's get into today's episode. Hey, hey, welcome back to the Abundant Babes podcast. This is your host, Viola Hug, and it's awesome to be with you here today. I'm excited. So if you're here for the first time, welcome to the podcast. If you are here as a return listener, thank you for returning. High five. You're awesome. And today we're going to have a fun conversation. I'm so excited to welcome this woman. She is just like full of life and energy. I can't wait to see where this conversation goes. Please welcome Whitney Boehm to the podcast. Hi, Whitney.
Hi. Oh my gosh. I'm so excited to be here. So yes. Excited.
So Whitney is a personal trainer, an online fitness coach, as well as a business coach. And I think she's got such a cool story and so many fun, like, different angles that we could dive into today. So we'll see what happens. But she ultimately just helps women fall in love with themselves, their businesses, and their lives. So, I mean, that's always a good thing. from your perspective though, like, how did you end up here? Like, tell us your story.
Oh boy. Okay. So I'll try to make this not forever long, you know what I mean? I'm thinking about it like, oh my God, it's been so long, and yet it feels like it's gone so fast, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I started in the fitness industry in network marketing, actually. I was a coach for a company called Beachbody. And after I had my oldest daughter, I had like body image issues prior to getting pregnant, but it just escalated terribly after having my oldest daughter. So I gained like 50 pounds when I was pregnant. And then after she was born, I was like, oh, I need to lose the baby weight, and stressing out about it. And I would just like hide my body and wear baggy clothes and cry in my closet. Nothing fit right. I was like miserable. Right. So, actually, this is kind of a funny story, but I was sitting on the couch at night. Like, I swear to God, it was like 3 a.m. because one of those infomercials came on for Insanity. I was sitting there with my fiance, like, stuffing my face with pizza, like, oh shit. I should probably, like, do something like that instead of what I'm doing right now. You know, like, it was like that moment that I was like, okay, I need to, like, take care of my body. This is not okay. So kind of funny. I was like, so I told my fiance, I was like, we should do that. And he's like, oh yeah, okay, have fun with that.
Yeah.
But so I did. And then I fell in love with it. I fell in love with the workouts. I lost all the baby weight and just was in a better place, physically, mentally, all the things. And so I decided that I wanted to be a Beachbody coach. I was like, I just had this burning desire to help women get fit, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, just to feel good in their skin and stuff. But here's the catch. I actually, at this time, then took it too far and developed eating disorder problems, body dysmorphia problems. Oh. And I would do like nothing but cardio for hours a day. I would punish myself with exercise. I would not eat for hours, and then I'd binge, and then I'd punish myself with exercise. And here I'm like, promoting health and wellness and not well, you know what I mean?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Basically all those insecurities that I was dealing with prior to losing the weight, like I carried them with me. I felt better, and yet I was still tearing myself apart all the time. Like I'd be like, this still needs to change and that still needs to change. And oh my God, I'm so gross. And like, just not in a good space, like mentally. And I actually like looking back, was definitely underweight for my height. Like it got bad. And one day my daughter, who was then probably like 2 at the time, she would step on the scale with me, cause I was like obsessed with losing weight, you know, and I'd step on the scale multiple times a day. So she stepped on the scale with me, and like, it was like this game. And I was like, fuck, like this is not okay. I do not want her to grow up having these insecurities. that I've dealt with and have had basically since like junior high, you know? And it just broke my heart. I was like, this is not okay. So again, turning point, I was like, I need to get help mentally. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I need to help myself.
I have mentally. A quick question here. Like how you're saying, like you had, wanted to get help mentally. Was it like, did you know that it was in your mind? Because I know sometimes when you're in that place, it's still like, you feel like it's your body that's wrong. Or you feel like, were you already kind of like aware that your habits were not really serving you? And so that's why you wanted to work on your mindset? Or was it kind of just like, you don't even really know why you thought that?
You know, to be honest, I'd been kind of introduced to personal development in network marketing, right?
Yeah.
And so I knew that there were things that you could do for your mindset. And it was like, I really had this desire to love myself, you know?
Yeah.
And I'd never really loved myself. I'd always just was way too hard on myself and nothing was ever good enough. And I wanted to feel good enough. I wanted to feel just in love with myself and my life, not so damn miserable all the time. And I was doing it to myself, you know what I mean? And I don't know. I started reading the book, You Are a Badass. And that's like kind of where it started for me. And then
great book.
I just, you know, I read some like, you know, books like, I read a lot of books actually, and just started reframing my mindset and using the tools that I was learning to stop the negative thoughts when they would come in and reframe them.
Amazing.
And all of that kind of stuff. And I just retrained my brain to see my body differently.
So
it's
good.
Crazy. It took me years, but it's possible.
You know, and I have this like random memory that just came to mind. So when I was, this is like so random, but this is like what you were saying about retraining to see yourself differently. When I was like 20 or 19 or something, I was obsessed with wearing only top eyeliner. And like, and very like shitty though, like not like the cool winged eyeliner you see these days. Like, I just like would like put like a thick line on top of my eyeliner.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know why I was so obsessed with it. It was just like my quick makeup thing, you know, like I'd put on a quick thing of eyeliner, like no mascara or anything. Like, this is like, I'm gonna put it down to the fact that this is before like makeup YouTube tutorials were really big. But anyway, then I think one of my friends was like, it doesn't even look that good or something. And I was just like, and I wanted to stop wearing it. I think maybe I got an eye infection or something and I needed to stop wearing it. And I just like, every time I looked in the mirror, I was like, I look so ugly without eyeliner, you know, like I would be like, oh my God, I look terrible. My eyes look so weird. Like, and I just couldn't like get over the fact how weird I looked without it. And then eventually though, like, I don't know how long it took, but I actually would look in the mirror and I was like, oh, I look quite good. And then I remember I went to put on the eyeliner again and I was like, I look horrible with this eyeliner. And it was funny because like you do get so used to seeing yourself the way you see yourself. And I found the same when I also stopped wearing makeup in general. You know, like I still wear makeup, but now it's kind of like a choice thing. And back then it was like a necessity. And then I was like, oh my God, I feel so ugly. And then slowly you just get used to your face in a different way. And you're like, oh, this is actually pretty cool.
Right.
Yeah.
And oh my gosh. And it's just such a good feeling to be able to look in the mirror. And I mean, I'll actually leave the house without makeup now. And back then would never, you know, I'd look in the mirror and be like, oh, you know, if I didn't have makeup on. So
like, ugh.
Yeah. It's incredible to be able to like see yourself in a good way. Mm-hmm. I love that. Mm-hmm. I got pregnant with my second daughter basically right as I was deciding that I needed to do this differently. And then I gained like another 50 pounds when I was pregnant with her. Oh my gosh. So when I had her, then I was like, this is going to be different this time. Like, I'm going to do this the right way. I'm going to learn to love myself through this process. I'm going to focus on being strong, not so much losing weight, and just did it a different way that time. And then really just feel like I kind of outgrew network marketing. Mm-hmm. I decided that I wanted to be the trainer, not sell other trainers' products to people. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I up and left my network marketing company and quit my waitressing job basically at the same time and opened a fitness studio.
Oh,
like, I'm doing it. And it was scary as fuck, but I did. I was like,
I love it.
But I did it and it was so good and it was so fun. And I mean, from there, it's just been incredible. So I started hosting online fitness boot camps, similar to the ones that I was doing as a coach with Beachbody, but I created the workouts. My fiance is actually very talented with videography, so he helped me shoot everything and I created the workouts and we were doing the thing, and like, it was so great and it was so fun. And then I'm trying to think, like last spring, my studio flooded, a sewer pipe burst. And like, they tore out my floor and my space was basically in shambles. Oh, I was like, oh my God, what do I do? You know, all of a sudden, like, your job you do every day was just like, shit, you know? So I didn't have a space for like 6 months. So my business, I took more online, and that was really fun. I'm able to help more women that way. And it just feels so fulfilling. It just like makes me feel all warm and fuzzy. And then I did find a new space this fall. And so that was in November. So December, I opened my new studio. And so that's been amazing.
I know. And I like, it's cool because I got to see like your journey of like, and that happened so fast as well. Like, you were just like, I think I'd like to have a studio again. And then it was like 5 seconds later, you're like, oh, here's my studio.
I know, right?
So
it was just
cool.
Crazy. It was like the universe was like here. Like, yeah. Oh my gosh. But
for those of you listening who are also like obsessed or getting obsessed with human design, Whitney's a projector, right?
I am.
Yeah. And I think it's just so funny because the whole thing with projectors, you know, is like when they're standing in their light and they're just like following what they're lit up by, then it's like the opportunities will come. And that's like essentially what happened. You had this idea and you were in the right energetic alignment for it. And then everything just fell into place.
Yeah, really, it was incredible. Like, yeah. I cried about it multiple times because it just felt so good. Like, oh my God, this just feels so right, you know, and it just was there. And it was amazing. So during the time that I did not have a studio, I decided to branch into business coaching. I realized that so many of the tools that I've used to reframe my mindset about how I view my body and feeling good enough and loving myself can also translate into business. When women desire to put their work out into the world so badly, but don't feel good enough, don't feel, you know, just enough. And it can really hold you back. It can really mess with your mind. It's impossible to sell things if on the inside you just don't feel worthy, you know? So much of like all of that work, I just now have this like new burning desire to help women love themselves and feel enough and to be able to put themselves out in the world and offer their magic with the world in a way that's like fun and exciting, and they feel so good about it and they feel so lit up about it and they're making a difference. And it's just amazing. And I just really, really have this desire to do that now also.
I love it.
So, and that's where that came from.
Yeah. And I think that's so beautiful as well, because it's like you're doing the work that you really like felt called to do, but also able to expand it in an even bigger way than you originally thought, you know?
Yes.
Yeah. So
for sure.
I know like there's so much in this that we could dive into, and one of the things that I'm seeing is like part of your magic is this like connection between self-love and sales, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm like, new program idea.
Yes.
And I know you run a program called like Sexy Sales, which is just so cool. And honestly, guys, like, you need to go check out Whitney online. What's your Instagram, Whitney?
It's at Whitney Marie Bame.
Okay. Oh, bam. I pronounced your name completely wrong at the start.
It's okay. Quite honestly, it's happened my whole life. I don't even notice anymore when it happens.
So I'm sure.
It's like, okay. Like, don't feel bad.
I'm sure I'm super confident because I heard somebody else maybe call you that. And so I just in my head assume that's how you say it. So what is it? Bam.
It's BAME.
BAME. Oh my God. I'm still not nailing it.
Well, it's okay. It's German. So it's like spelled weird.
Yeah.
You know, for the way that it sounds.
Yeah. Got it. Got it. Got it. So I actually am German. So.
Really? Oh my God.
It's my first language. Yeah.
Holy crap.
I know. Fun fact you may have not known about me.
I didn't actually. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Well, like when people ask me, I do say I'm Canadian because I was born in Canada and I lived mostly in Canada, but both my parents are German. And after I was born here, when I was 10 days old, I went back to Germany until I was, I think, 4. Not on my own with my parents, obviously. But
oh my
yeah,
God, that's awesome.
So, yeah. So, I mean, I could use that as an excuse. I mean, I could, I should not be able to use that as an excuse, but we'll just pretend that I was not there when I learned to read and write. So that's not my strength in German. Anyway, so, okay. So Whitney Ann Bame, and we'll put it in the show notes just in case you need to figure out the spelling on Instagram, right?
Yeah, it's Whitney Marie.
Oh, Marie, shit. Oh my God. I'm cracking up at myself. Okay, it's in the show notes. It's in the show notes. Whitney Marie.
It's all good.
But you guys gotta go look at her branding and her pictures because she is like, if you think of like sexy sales or sexy, like Whitney's got it down. Whitney is a mom of two and she's banging. And I love hearing this story behind it all as well, because you literally like, you are who you are today, not because you just like got obsessed with exercise or eating, which happens a lot. You know, like a lot of people that I know close to me have been affected by disordered eating or overexercising or, you know, things in that realm. And, it's like from the outside, I think sometimes it's hard to tell, right? Because it's like the physical appearance might look the same on someone who's completely, you know, almost abusing their body because of the way that they're exercising or eating. But then someone else might be doing it in a completely loving way. And I think for me and your energy a lot, that does come through, but I think it's just so beautiful to hear the self-work that went in behind that. And I think that's part of the reason why you probably do have that, like belief in yourself and the ability to go after these things and do the things you're doing. Cause it's honestly really inspiring to watch you.
Oh, thank you. Oh my gosh. Oh
yeah.
Can so
let's talk about this concept of sales more though, because I'm really interested to hear more of your perspective on this. Like what's kind of like when you say like you're excited to talk about sales, like what kind of things come to mind?
Ooh. Oh, I got all excited again.
Yes.
So like you said, self-love and sales correlate, and they do. They correlate so much. Because, okay, so say you have a program and you're like jacked to put it out there. You're so excited. And then you're like, okay, I'm gonna launch it. I'm gonna do it. And then you don't. Because you're like, nobody's gonna buy. Nobody's gonna like me. Everybody's gonna think I'm stupid. I'm not enough. Like, I can't get these people results. Like, all of the negative shit that comes in our head, right? When we think of doing something that's out of our comfort zone, it's just like, I'm gonna. Oh, I'm just kidding. You know what I mean?
And, or we'd go, I'm gonna do it. And then we like start. And then we're like, never mind. I take it back. I'm gonna quit. I'm gonna stop this. Like,
yes. And I felt this before myself. Like, I won't lie. I felt it. And
I'm sure we all have.
I've done the work, you know, like working through these things. And, yes. So confidence in sales is huge. You have to be able to get behind your offer and know that it is the best damn thing ever for the people that need you. You have to be able to embody your offer, like be totally and fully aligned with what you're selling. And when you talk about it, you know, people need to feel your energy more than anything else. It's about who you're being. And if they can feel that you aren't confident, if they can feel that you don't feel that you're enough, it's not going to translate into sales. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be this missing piece. And it's going to be like, well, why aren't people buying? And it's like, because you don't believe they're going to buy, or you don't believe that you're enough, or you don't believe that your offer is amazing. You have to be able to get behind all of it and love all of it and love yourself and love all the things basically in order for it to work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. I totally hear that. And I love how you said as well, like, know that your offer is amazing for your people, or however you worded it, because I think that is like one of the areas where we get so caught up, is that it's this idea that like we need to get behind our offer and believe in our offer and think it's the best thing since sliced bread. But then it's so easy to compare yourself against the 20 million other coaches who sell a similar offer, you know, right. And, or whatever industry you're in. But it's like, really coming back to, it's the best offer for your people. Like the reason, yes, you're inspired to offer it this layout versus this layout, the reason you're inspired to teach this in your program, the reason that you're sharing it this particular way, is because your exact soul client needs to hear it this exact way. So it's legit the best fucking thing since sliced bread for your ideal client.
Yes. All the yes.
So yeah, let's talk about that a little bit more if you can. Like, how, in your experience, like, how do you get behind that? Like, so you said like getting behind, like believing that your offer is really good, believing, okay, we'll start there. We'll merge into the rest later.
So how, well, like, okay.
Yeah. Let's talk.
So when I was in network marketing and I was trying to sell products for a company, right, that, like, uh-huh, I wasn't the trainer. I was selling products that were basically promoting other people.
Right.
And there was a disconnect there for me. I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. But I did it for like 4 years. So I just kept doing it and just kept trying and just kept doing all the things they told me to do, which were, mm-hmm, nasty marketing tactics, by
and
the way.
Probably,
like, so, so gross and so dead now.
And probably,
you know, like,
also totally opposite the from what, yes, a doctor should be doing.
Yes. Well, in the opposite of what I teach now, just, yeah, so forward, so pushy, so cold message all the people, just so gross. But, yeah, not only that, but like the disconnect was I didn't want to promote other people's products anymore. And, right, I just kept doing it, and I couldn't get behind it, but I just kept doing it. Mm-hmm. So then when it was my own offer, I was like, yes, you know what I mean? Like, that disconnect was gone, because, yeah, this is what I felt, fully felt like I desired to do. Mm-hmm. So when we desire to do something and we don't do it because it's scary or whatever, like, that pull that you feel to do the thing, just do the damn thing. Because if you keep doing something that you don't want to do, it's not going to work. So it has to feel fully aligned. It has to feel good. It has, mm-hmm, to be like, this is what I'm meant to do. Yeah. And if you feel, okay, I don't really know what I want to do, you know, take some time to reflect, like,
yeah,
where am I leading myself most? What can I really offer the world? What would light me up to help people with? Because I know sometimes when you're trying to come up with new program ideas and it's like, everything's blank, you know? So it's just kind of digging deep, and then all of a sudden it'll hit you and it'll be like, it's this, you know? And then don't be afraid of it. Like, roll with it and really embody it and get behind it and just be it.
Mm-hmm. So what does that mean to like embody it and be it? Because this is a concept that I totally am behind, but I really want to hear your perspective. What does that mean?
So for example, in fitness, mm-hmm, if you are a personal trainer or a health and fitness coach or whatever, and behind the scenes, like me in network marketing, when I was beating myself up, like, you're not good enough, you're not thin enough, you're not pretty enough, you're not fit enough, you're still fat, oh my God, all of that shit,
yeah,
in your head, but you're promoting health and wellness and self-love. Yeah.
No. There's a disconnect.
Exactly. It does not work.
Yeah,
if this you're is like, I'm the self-love queen, but you hate yourself, like, that does not work.
This is what I call like creating split energy, right? And this happens like in so many different ways, but it's like, for example, exactly like what you just said, it's like you're trying to promote self-love and there's a part of you that like is like, yes, self-love, like obviously I get the importance, yes, I know it's important, but there's almost like a part of you that's winning in your energy field that is like the part that's tearing you down. The same thing happens when we think about like money beliefs and our belief to be successful. It's like part of us is like, yes, I want to be successful and wealthy. And then another part of us that sometimes we don't even notice is saying, yeah, but wealthy people are greedy and they're snobs and they'll take advantage of you. So it's like your energy is not going to align with wealth and abundance and success if there's a part of you that believes that you'd have to take advantage of people or be snobby to get there.
Exactly. Right? This literally it works with pretty much everything. Like if you think about it, like sales too, if you're trying to get behind selling something and you feel like salespeople are gross and sleazy and icky and sales are nasty and you have all this shit come up every time you think about selling something, it's going to be really hard to sell your offer.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And I think this is actually a really good thing to lean on because I would love to hear your perspective of reframing that. I don't know if you've ever had that experience because I know that like people who have been in sales, especially like one, if you've been sold to and it's felt disgusting, or two, if you've been in a situation where you've maybe learned sales tactics, and because I was in network marketing too, and some of the things I learned, I really also didn't agree with. And I like are the opposite of what I teach now as well. But it's like, sometimes we get really hung up based on our experience with it, right? So I would love to hear, like, did you carry through any kind of like limitations or beliefs around that? And how did you reframe those?
Ooh, that's a good question. I did. I carried a lot of that ickiness from network marketing with me. And I didn't know any better. So even when I started my own business, there were things that I was like, this just doesn't feel good. And I don't want to sell this way anymore. So I kind of dropped some of the things like, they would tell me to, you know, message everyone that likes your post or add 100 new friends a day and message all your new friends or, you know what I mean? Like all of that shit, like ew.
I'm like giggling because the thing is that we know when we receive a message like that, we don't like it. And I do have to say, like, I know people in network marketing who do it like a completely different way. And I'm just like, I love that you're like innovating because it's not all of network marketing that's like this. And especially like the new age of it, I'm seeing definitely a huge shift in, but it's like the years that you were in it. And like, I was in network marketing in 2012, like we were still being taught super old school, tactics, you know, that aren't really like they don't really, I don't know, for the majority of soulful people, it doesn't vibe, you know?
No. And it was just what I was taught. So I was like, there has to be a better way to do this, a way that feels good. And so then I actually learned this from my coach, sell in a way that you would want to buy. And it was like, holy shit. Yes. So doing that now, you know, because I mean, honestly, I don't buy in the way that I used to sell, you know? So it just, I don't know. I changed all of those things. I don't even remember what the original question was. What was the original question? I'm sorry.
How did you, this answer has been so good anyway, but I was just saying like, what maybe were some of the beliefs and how did you reframe them? Or what do you believe to be true about selling now? Cause I know for me, for example, I didn't even used to be able to say the word selling or sales. I'd be like, oh, that's icky.
Right.
You know,
like,
but
cool.
I know, but, and that was like at the start of my business. So I'd always call it like something different. I'd be like, instead of sales, I'd be like, what did I say? Like offering your offer or like making an offer, you know, like I'd always try to come up with new ways to say it because I had such like, I didn't want to be associated with anything to do with like traditional old school sales. But now it's kind of like, it kind of has looped back around where I'm just like, it doesn't really matter what you call it. You know, it's like, at the end of the day, that is what it is, but it gets to be something that feels really, really good in every part of the process now. And So yeah, if there's anything like that, that you had where you had like this particular belief around sales, and then now you have like a way more awesome, empowered belief around sales.
Yeah. So really the reframing techniques for anything that doesn't feel good, even going back to when I was trying to reframe the way that I think about my body, is like, is this true? No, it's not. What would I rather feel instead? I would rather believe this to be true, and then affirm that new belief basically until you believe it and you feel it.
Yeah.
So instead of feeling like sales is so nasty, what do you want to believe about sales instead? I want to believe that it's amazing and that I have something amazing to offer the world, and that people need what I have to offer, and that sales can be fun. It can be exciting, and you can magnetize people to you that just love the shit out of you and are like, let me buy whatever you're offering, because all of that is so possible, and it doesn't have to be this gross, nasty, pushy thing. Mm-hmm. So you can make it really whatever you desire for it to be for you, and it can feel amazing, and it can feel fun, and it can feel effortless and easy and exciting, mm-hmm. and all the things.
And I think that's so good, because then if you reframe it that way, then you're also, it's like almost like a mental check-in for yourself to make sure that the way you're showing up is in alignment with that. Because if you want to say like, I believe that my offer is amazing, you're not going to put out an offer that you think is shitty. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, and if you think like, I want to do it in a way that people feel excited to buy from me, you're not going to say things or do things that are going to make people feel uncomfortable in the process.
Yes. Mm. And it's all about, people buy based off of feelings, you know?
Yes.
So more than anything now, like, people want happiness, you know? Mm-hmm. So if you're happy, lit up, excited, like the excitement and the hype in selling is in now, not the, if you don't buy this, you'll die sort of thing, you know? So just making people feel good is ultimately huge. And if you don't feel good, it's hard to make other people feel good. So it all comes from within us.
Yeah. And I think that's like, for me in this kind of like new paradigm of sales, it is really about like understanding that we have so much abundance available to us. There's so many people, and there's the perfect people for us. And the perfect person for me might also be the perfect person for you in some offers. And for other people, like, one person can be the perfect client for multiple people. But also, like, you can have people that are just like your people as well. And when we remember that it's like, by being ourselves and really tapping into how we would like this experience to be, and how we would like to offer our things, and the things that we feel called to share, and being authentically ourselves, we're going to be like a very clear energetic match for those people. And so it's like, suddenly now you're just someone that people want to buy off of, you know, you have an offer that people desire to have, so they're going to be excited to buy. So like, in my experience, a lot of the like things that usually have made people feel uncomfortable about sales in the past, I know have made me feel uncomfortable in the past, are things that I just don't even do anymore. Like, I don't ever pressure someone to buy. If someone sends me a message, that's not an invitation for me to be like, oh, well, you should buy, and here's all the reasons. I'm just like, cool, here's the information you ask for. Have a great day. Like, you know, because it's also like a big belief for me that I had to reframe, was that it's like believing in other people's own strength. You know what I mean? Like, when I really wanted something in my life, I made it happen. And
same.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's like,
you don't have to force people to buy things from you, you know?
No, like, the right people are going to buy. And when one, you can reframe that, and also just embrace the journey a little bit. Like, a good launch, a bad launch doesn't mean a fucking thing in the grand scheme of things. Like, it's all part of the process. Then suddenly you can have this more lean back energy, and you can let people come to you when they want something. And that, I think, just feels so good.
Oh, it does. That was huge for me too. Again, my coach was like, I never do follow-ups. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
You don't follow up with people? This, like, when I first started working with her, when was that? That was probably almost a year ago now. But I was like, if you could see my eyes right now, they just got huge. You know, like, what? So shocked, you know? Mm-hmm. But it's like, yeah, no, I would so much rather not have to push people. Like, if they're your aligned clients, they're your soulmate clients, they're going to buy, you know, exactly. And you have to let people step into their power and make that decision for themselves, because otherwise, you know, do you want people that aren't aligned with you in your offers, not showing up and not getting results? Like, no. So you have to let the people come and make that decision for themselves and show up.
Exactly. And I think there's something to be said about that as well, because that's more of a leading energy. You know what I mean? Like, and that's, I think, so important when we really are doing work where we're wanting people to be able to grow themselves. Like, we're not in the, and well, in my opinion, like, we're not in the business of having to drag people to what they want. You know, people have to step up and be able to go after what they want and make it happen for themselves. And when we, like, one, when we follow up, like, usually they know they haven't paid or they haven't messaged you back. It's not, you know, they're going to message you back when they feel comfortable to, like, maybe something happened or their circumstance changed or fear got hold and they just don't feel ready now. And that's, like, fine. Like, you messaging them being like, I'm just checking in again, is just going to make them feel shitty.
Right.
And if they really want to do it, and if they forgot, like, you know, like, I remember I used to have this thing being like, oh, like, but they told me they wanted to join and early bird's about to finish, so I should just let them know that early bird's about to finish, you know? But then it's like, but then maybe they needed that lesson of, like, time management or making a decision on the spot, you know, and not waiting for the cutoff before you realize, oh, damn, I forgot to do this. You know, maybe they needed that lesson. So it's like just letting them be in their power through the whole process as well means that they're going to get so much more out of your offer as well, because they're coming into the offer completely, fully self-led. And that's powerful.
So powerful.
I feel like in my programs, like, that's one of the things that I've noticed the biggest difference in, is like the power of transformation that people have versus, like, you know, because I mean, I've done programs in the past before or courses or whatever where it was kind of just like, yeah, meh, whatever. And like, that's like what I didn't want people to experience in my programs. I wanted people to come in and just be like, I don't even recognize myself after these 2 weeks or this 4 weeks or whatever, you know, like, that's what I wanted. And that was one of the biggest things. Like, I realized it started with how I communicate with them before they've even considered buying.
Yeah, it's so important. If not, well, I don't want to say the most important piece, because it's all important, but if you want them to really see results, I feel like that's the most important piece, is letting them make the decision.
Totally. So is there anything else that you feel like is kind of like an important thing to touch on when we're talking about sales, or like really stepping into like your most aligned way of doing it and actually being successful with it?
Well, I was going to add to kind of what we were just talking about a little bit. When I really think about it, like you said, when you want something, you just make it fucking happen. And I feel the same way. Like, I just make it happen. You know, there's fear. I feel the fear. I feel all the things. And I'm like, if I feel that this is something that's going to change my life, I'm just going to fucking do it no matter what. And I don't need somebody to check up on me and be like, hey, did you sign up yet? Or whatever the follow-up is, you know? It would actually then make me feel unaligned with purchasing whatever it is from that person, if that were the case. So then thinking about that, that's not the way that I like to buy. Why would I continue to sell that way? So I actually had like the biggest slap in the face thing happen to me probably about a year ago now, when like all of, like, I, like, this was a process for me with changing the way that I sell, and all of it feels so good now, but some of the things still were off, you know, at this time. And I'd just launched a fitness program, and same, early bird was ending, and I knew there were people that wanted to sign up, and I was like, I'm going to do some follow-ups. And of course I was in a hurry, so I'm like copy and pasting shit, right? And I accidentally put somebody's name in wrong, and she's like, that's not my name. Oh my God. I was mortified.
Oh,
like, even just that's a lesson that right never now makes me want to throw up.
Yeah.
Like, I was so mortified. Excuse me. Holy crap. That was awful. I was like, I'm never fucking doing this ever again. And yeah. I've never sent another follow-up since. Like, that was the lesson. Because, yeah, like, I'd heard, don't follow up with people. And I was like, what? I'm going to keep following up with people. And then it was like, no, you're not.
Because you know the fortune's in the follow-up. Right?
So, you know, we don't need to learn the lessons the hard way. Just take my word for it.
Yeah. And the thing is, as well, is like, I mean, this is our perspective, right? Like, you take on whatever you want if you're listening right now. But it's like, I think that the thing that it comes back to is what you shared, Whitney, is like, what is it that really feels good to you? Like, if you were to analyze, like, what's been the best sales experience you've ever had? Like, whether it was at a store, online, like, where did you feel like you were really, like, so excited to buy that you couldn't wait to give the money? You know, like, where did you feel that you were so honored and appreciated, or whatever kind of things were important to you during that process? And also, alternatively, like, if you haven't necessarily had an experience that's felt like that, it's like you can also pay attention to what didn't you like and make sure never to do that, and then create the process that you really, really do love. So, you know, you get to do that, and you get to have success your way. And this comes back to what we like always talk about on this podcast, is like, you really, really don't have to sacrifice who you are or what feels good in order to have the success that you desire.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Oh, I love that so much.
This has been such a fun conversation.
Oh my gosh. It has. God. I'm just like, cast off smiling, my face hurts.
I know. I'm like, what else can we talk about? Ooh, this is fun.
I know, this is so fun.
So if you've also enjoyed this episode, if you've enjoyed us just yabbing about all this awesome stuff, then I would love it if you would take a screenshot of the episode, upload it on Instagram, and tag me at Viola Hug and Whitney at Whitney Marie Fame.
Yes. Nailed it.
And reach out to either of us, let us know what you thought, or, you know, connect with us, whatever, that would be absolutely amazing. And if you're enjoying the Abundant Babes podcast, I would also be so grateful if you could leave a review, or even just the tap rating would be so, so awesome. That means the world to me when you take a moment to do that. But Whitney, is there any kind of where else can people find you and connect with you?
Besides Instagram, I am on Facebook. I have a business page for my fitness. It's Whitney Bain Fitness. I also do my business coaching on my personal Facebook page. And that is just also Whitney Marie Bain on Facebook.
Amazing. Yeah. Nice and easy. Facebook and Instagram. I'm sure most of us are pretty acquainted with those platforms.
Right.
Okay, cool. Well, all that's going to be in the show notes as well. So make sure you go check out Whitney, get into her bubbly vibe, and thank you so much for joining me today, Whitney.
Oh, thank you for having me. I feel so honored. This was so, so fun.
Yes, it was. Okay, and to the listeners, I'll see you on the next episode. Bye.